Welcome to Day 34 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapters 13, 14, and 15, and it brings to us one of the most exciting and epic miracles that the Old Testament records. It is the place where God himself parts the Red Sea so the Israelites can go through on dry ground, even though they're being pursued by the Egyptian army. And we see how the Lord deals with the enemies of Israel and allows them to completely receive their freedom from bondage in Egypt. I believe you're going to enjoy this historical narrative of actual events, as well as appreciate the deep symbolism of this story for us as New Testament believers today. So this week we're reading in the New American Standard Bible, and we will begin at Exodus chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and nothing leavened shall be eaten. And on this day, in the month of Abib, you are about to go forth. It shall be when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall observe this rite in this month. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. You shall tell your son on that day, saying, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand, and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with a powerful hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time from year to year. Now when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and gives it to you, you shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb, and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord. But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' Then you shall say to him, 'With a powerful hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery.' It came about when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord the males, the first offspring of every womb, but every firstborn of my sons I redeem. So it shall serve as a sign on your hand and as phylacteries on your forehead, for with a powerful hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, "The people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. The sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you." Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pihath-iroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, They are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people, and they said, What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready, and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots, and all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel, as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pihath-iroth, in front of Baal-zephon. As Pharaoh drew nearer, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. The angel of the Lord, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was a cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall on them to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians took up pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, so the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Chapter 15. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as a chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembling grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of your arm, they are motionless as stone, until your people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, What shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statue and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is a fabulous one, and it's powerful in both its historical reality and truth, that these were actual historical events which occurred. The miracles which the Israelites saw in being delivered out of Egypt were completely true, and this is actually a historical retelling of those events. But they have meaning for us today, very powerful meaning, and I want to talk a little bit about just a portion of it today. There's so much in these three chapters, but I'm going to focus on God's direction and protection of his people, God's guidance of his people. When the Israelites began to leave Egypt, they were heading into a wilderness they didn't know anything about. They didn't know where they were going. Moses was a good leader. He had spent a lot of time in the wilderness, but the direction that they were going was not one that he was that familiar with, because the scripture says that though they're heading toward the promised land, toward Canaan, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. God chose a different way for them to get there than perhaps they would have chosen. There was a more direct route than the route that they were going to take, but God specifically chose the way that they went because God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. God knew that the Philistines were in the land, would give them trouble. And in his wisdom, the Lord didn't want the people discouraged and wanting to turn back to Egypt because they faced battles with the Philistines. So sometimes when God leads us, it may seem not as reasonable to us. It doesn't seem as direct a route. It doesn't seem as easy a route to go. And yet it is the direction of God. Don't be dismayed by that. God knows what's ahead of you. He is wise. He can see what you cannot see. He can see difficulties coming up if you go in that direction that don't appear or you haven't thought of. So trust the Lord when he gives you guidance. I love the scripture that says, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." This is such a beautiful picture of the guidance of God. God directing them. They didn't know where to go. If you're in a wilderness, you could go 100 ways. It's not that there's one path. There's many paths. You could go many directions. It's wide open, but you need to know the specific direction to go to arrive at the place where God was taking them. So this pillar of cloud was such a powerful guidance tool for them. I've heard Christians today say, "I wish I could have a pillar of fire to guide me. I'd just follow it. It'd be a lot easier than trying to figure out what the will of God is." But truthfully, today, God doesn't give us a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud to follow. He has given us his word, the written word, and he has given us his Holy Spirit, which the people in Moses' day did not have. That was not yet given to the people, and so because of that, they needed external signs. We have the Word of God to guide us, and if you continuously get into the Word of God, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, you will receive guidance from God in your personal life through the Word of God, but also the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guide to remind us, to guide us, to prompt us, to speak to us so that we can have direction. So that is our pillar of fire today. But I want you to consider this picture of the people of Israel literally following a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. The fire, pillar of fire, is a picture of God's protection. If you think about a wilderness camping situation, when you're out in the wilderness, and I have done this before with my husband backpacking, you light a fire because fire will keep wild animals away, and you try to keep that fire burning all night for protection. The pillar of fire was literally the glory of God, or you could say the presence of God with those people. And you know, the presence of God with them was absolute and perfect protection. Today, if we maintain a close relationship with the Lord, where the presence of God is our companion, we will not be devoured in the wilderness. We will have the protection of God as we walk in our lives toward our promised land. And this doesn't imply that there's no enemies or there's nothing that's trying to devour you in this life. It simply means that we will have God's protection from being devoured because we keep His presence close with us. The pillar of cloud was also a great picture of God's guidance. When the cloud would move, the people followed it. When it moved, they moved. When it stopped, and we'll see this in future chapters that we're going to be reading, when the pillar of cloud would stop, the people would camp. And it's a picture of God's guidance or God's leading of His people. God wants us to follow Him, and if He says stop, we stop. If He says wait, we wait. If He says go in this direction, we go in that direction. We don't try to figure it out with our own minds. We will see examples of this as we move through the book of Exodus, where people had a better idea than God and tried to get others of the Israelites to follow them instead of follow the Lord because they were getting frustrated, they didn't like what was happening. And you have to just stick with the Lord and hold fast by faith, even when you don't understand what is going on. I'm sure that the Israelites didn't know why God would lead them to the edge of the Red Sea, where there are mountains all around. They are up against the Red Sea, and now they have Egypt's horsemen and chariots, an entire army, hot in pursuit of them. You could say they're up against the Red Sea and with the enemy hot on their trail. Have you ever felt like that in your life, where you feel like you're at a place where there is nothing you can do to deliver yourself? You know, the Israelites could not deliver themselves at that point. They did need a miracle. They couldn't go through the sea. They couldn't climb the mountain. They couldn't get away from the Egyptian chariots and horsemen that were on their way towards them at great speed. They're walking, carrying all their possessions, their little children. It was an amazing sight because it was over 1 million people walking together. What an amazing picture this must have been. And yet God was very happy with the situation because He had designed it. He had put them in that situation. You know, just because you follow God, you walk with God, and you love God, and you seek to obey God in every area of your life, does not mean that you will never have a situation that looks impossible like the Israelites had. It doesn't mean you'll ever be never have a problem or a trial that you will have to face like the Israelites did at that very moment when they were at the Red Sea with nowhere to turn. But God had a plan. It was a design of God. And the Lord told Moses, I am doing this because I'm going to glorify myself through the Egyptians. Now, I'm sure Moses couldn't even have a clue what that possibly could mean. He just followed the Lord step by step. And then the sea is going to be divided. The Lord, I love Moses' faith because he was not sure exactly what it was God was going to do to deliver them he didn't get this word until after he made this faith statement. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear." Okay, they're at the edge of the Red Sea. They have all their possessions. They can't go anywhere. And here comes an army. The horse hooves are beating the ground. They can see the dust flying in the air as the Egyptian army gets closer and closer with all of their armed soldiers. And Moses says, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." By faith, he said these words, "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Now, why do you think he told them to keep silent? Because they were afraid and they had the tendency to cry out in fear and speak things that were completely the opposite of what God was about to do. When you are pressed like the Israelites were, when you're under severe pressure, there is a time when you just need to keep silent. If you are not able to say by faith, "I will stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for me today." If you can't say that, it is better to be silent and just cry out to the Lord in your heart rather than to speak, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to be killed. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose the house." Oh, and start speaking fear and every bad scenario your mind is being assaulted with. It is better to be silent and let the Lord fight for you. And just say, "Lord, I'm depending on you." And don't say anything else if you cannot say what God would have you to say, which is, "I will see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for me." The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." He wanted them to take steps of faith toward the Red Sea, even though they couldn't understand what good that would do to be near the water. "As for you," he tells Moses, "lift up your staff. Use what I already gave you." That's what he's telling him. "Use what I already gave you. I gave you authority and I gave you power. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." That is God's word to Moses. "I will say to you as a New Testament believer, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." In other words, take what God has already given you. He's given you authority in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said before he left this earth and ascended back into heaven. He said, "I've given you power over all the works of the enemy." We have been given authority in the name of Jesus to see miracles done, to see deliverances come, to see healing come. Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea. Take what I already gave you. I gave you the word of God. I gave you the name of Jesus. I gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk in that. Go forward and walk in that. And then you shall go through the midst of the sea on dry ground. And that is what the Lord told Moses. And I love the next part. It says the angel of God, who had been going from before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. When you are at the end of yourself and there is nothing else that you can do, and you have done all, then you have to stand. The scripture tells us when you've done all, stand. You stand and believe God. That's what the standing is about. The standing is because you can't do anything more by yourself. You are believing God. And it says at that point, the angel that was going with them, which the Lord had assigned an angelic protection for them, as well as the pillar of cloud, moved behind them. So made a barrier between Israel and Egypt. And I love this because it says, so it came between the camp of Egypt. So it came between the enemy and Israel. You know, God places a boundary and a barrier and a protection between you and the enemy who would love to destroy you. And it says there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. It means that to the Egyptians, it was total darkness, but to the Israelite camp, there was light. Thus, the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night. So while they were separated by this cloud and darkness to the Egyptians and light to the Israelites, The Lord had Moses stretch out his hand and staff over the sea all night long, and the Lord swept the sea back. So now the waters were divided. It was an absolute miracle. The people had no one in the earth had ever seen anything like this. And now it was going to require faith to move forward. Do you know every time God wants you to move forward and go in somewhere you've never gone before, walk through the midst of the sea with the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. That was going to require faith for them to move forward. It was going to require faith for them to step into that. They had never seen such a sight. It had never been in the history of the world anything like this. How did they know the water wouldn't just fall back in on them? But they, by faith, walked through the Red Sea as if they were on dry land with a wall of water on each side. They must have looked at that and wondered, what a sight to behold. And they were all able, all million or whatever. There were 600,000 men, the scripture told us, and women and children. And they didn't give us the numbers. That would give us over 1 million people. Certainly. So that's a million people walking through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians seeing this sight as well. They must have been taken aback when they finally saw it and saw that they're moving through the Red Sea on dry land. And that was how God was going to do a miracle of total deliverance, so that the Egyptians they saw today, they would see no more forever. And that was the promise of the Lord through Moses' mouth to the people. The Egyptians you see today, I love that. You will never see them again forever. And so it was going to be. When you are in a difficult situation and the Lord is, he is with you and he is protecting you. And when he finally gives you the direction, make this move. And it seems, as you could say, a scary move, but you don't want to walk in fear at any time, but it looks ominous to you. It looks like if I do this, it could collapse on me. It could totally backfire, could not work. And yet you're clearly sure that God has directed you. Don't be afraid, but walk by faith like the Israelites walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, with the waters like a wall to them on both sides. Walk by faith. Believe God that he is delivering you and making a way for you where there was no way. It requires faith to follow God's direction. That's the truth. Because if you only use your mind, your good common sense, as people like to say often, you will only get what you can get in your own strength. Wouldn't you prefer to have what you could have in the power and the miraculous of God? That's what Moses and the Israelites had. They didn't get what they could do in their own strength. They couldn't swim across the Red Sea with all their children and possessions and cattle. It was impossible. So they were not able. They were only able to walk up to the edge of the Red Sea. That's all they were able to do in their own strength. But when they trusted God and followed God and his leader Moses, they were able to partake in a miracle, the dividing of the Red Sea. And then by faith, they're able to walk through that sea and get to the other side. That was a provision of God. It was the direction of God, but it took faith. It was a miracle of God, but it took faith to receive it. God wants you to receive the miracle you need today. He wants you to receive the direction you need today. He wants you to receive the protection you need today in your life. This account that we've heard from the Old Testament is applicable to your walk with God today, choosing to obey the Lord. They had to obey to walk out of Egypt. They had to obey to walk toward the Red Sea. They had to obey to walk through the midst of the sea. They had to have faith to do all of those things. That's what God wants from you. And with that, you will receive God's direction and his protection, even if you're in the middle of your wilderness experience, a difficult time, a low point in your life. God wants to divinely guide you and rescue you out of your situation, but it will require a move on your part. Sitting on your couch in your house and doing nothing will not be the way. You need to pray, read your word, and then ask the Lord, what steps do I need to take? What Red Sea do I need to walk through? How do I need to trust you? And a good way to receive the Lord's guidance, as I said, is to always to get in His Word. You can get godly counsel from people who know the Word of God, and pray until you have a prompting from the Lord on how to move forward. God will honor your steps of faith and your desire to obey Him. But make sure you don't shrink back with fear. Let the Lord help you move forward. Ask Him for grace to do it. And He will lead you. And He will protect you. And like the Israelites in this passage today, He will deliver you so that you will have a song of victory like Moses and the sons of Israel sang, that they will sing to the Lord. He's highly exalted. He's my strength and my straw song. And He has become my salvation. Have a great week.